So today we're going to continue into our parables, and we're going to be doing that throughout the summer months here. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 13, so you can turn there if you would. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to begin in verse 47, and we're going to go through 52. Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 52. And I've entitled this, One Fish, Two Fish, Good Fish, Bad Fish. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss, doesn't it? That's what I was thinking in my mind as I was writing, you know, putting this together, you know, Dr. Seuss. I think he had one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, I think is what he did. But Jesus started this because he was the initiator of the one fish, two fish, many, many years ago. So let us turn to the Word of God, if you would. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it is filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? And they said to him, yes. And Jesus said to him, therefore every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Well, as we look at this parable, the first thing I want us to do is kind of break it down. How many players are in this parable? How many players, how many different things are there or people groups are there in this parable? If you look at it, there's five. There are five players in this parable. There are five groups of people or five things that are taking place here. The first one that we read about is the net. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. What is the net? It's God's judgment. Okay, we need to understand each one of these players, each one of these parts. God's net. Okay, we're going to speak about that net and what it means. The second one that we need to look at is the word sea, because it says that it was cast into the sea. What does the sea represent? Our world. Exactly. Brother Chuck's back there going like this. Yes, our world and everything therein. So the sea represents our world. The third thing that is mentioned are the fish. Who are the fish, or what are the fish? People, all the people, not just some of the people. This parable includes every human being on the planet. The fourth thing that is spoken of here is without word, but they're implied here. Because somebody has to be dragging this net up on the beach and somebody has to be separating these fish out, right? Jesus tells us who the fishermen are. They're the angels at the end of time. And the fifth thing that is spoken of, and I think this is amazing, because it's not heaven. In fact, it's quite the other direction. It's hell. So there are five different things spoken of in this parable. So what makes this parable so different? Because if you remember, this is a continuation of a teaching that began with the public and then ended with a private conversation with his disciples. And this is the last of his teaching that he is giving to them. And so what makes this parable different than the other parables? Well, it's a build off of those other parables. Again, Jesus is coming to an end. He's wrapping things up. So he's looking at getting his main point to the people. So what is his main point in this? Well, the main point in this parable is the fact that there is a final judgment coming. It's not about heaven. This parable is about hell. Jesus taught, preached on hell more than anyone else in the Scriptures. Okay? Why do you think the Lord spoke so much on hell? He wanted people to understand that there was a punishment, that there was a place where there would be torment, that there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we're going to talk about that and just what that means. We're going to talk about the fiery furnace and just what that means, and try to understand some of this stuff. One of my favorite sayings is wrap your mind around this thing. Because when we come to the understanding that this parable really has nothing new, but it's emphasizing this judgment, how important do you think it is that the Lord would end His sermon in this very measure, that He's talking about this final judgment? Remember, this judgment is at the end. This is the last judgment. This is at the end of the millennium when everything is judged. So we look at this and we say, okay, if we're going to look at this and we need to find out about this separation that is being talked of here, what are some of the things that we can look at, or what are some of the things that we can grasp about this separation? What's going on here? Well, the one thing that I want us to understand and come to first off is that this separation is absolute. What does it mean to be absolute? Very simply, no one is going to be missed. Okay? In some of the other things, you know, there were people on the fringes, all right? Because it was talking about sowing in a field. Well, that's a small area, okay? That's a small area. This, however, is speaking of our world. This is speaking of everything that is and everything that will be. It's also speaking about a judgment, this net that is being cast out there. This is God's judgment. God judges the world itself. He judges all mankind, and then He judges the world. And we need to understand that when the Scripture here says full, if you take that back and you look at what it means to be full, it means nothing is missed. Okay? It means there is no more. This is full. Everything has come in. Okay? So when we think about God's judgment, is anybody going to be missed? Is anybody going to squeak through? Absolutely not. You know, I'm a fisherman, and I have already tried to dip a fish and missed it several times to the point where I batted it off the hook and it got away. Nothing is going to get away from this, because when God drops that net of judgment, everything is caught up in it. The fullness of it is caught up in it, because that's talking the fullness past and present, because we know this is in the future. There will be no more future, because it's the end of time. That's the one thing we need to understand. It's the end of time, because this is the Lord's day. This is coming to that very last day, the end of the age, okay? The end of the age, which then a new age is going to be ushered in. It also means here that when it speaks of absolute, you know, there are folks out there who say, well, you know, there really are no absolutes, right? There really are no, there's middle road. We can go down middle road because you can have one foot in each camp. God says, no, there are righteous and there are evil. There is no in between. So if you're in the middle, guess where you fall? Off the edge to the evil, because you have not chosen the good. Remember, God gives us what we really want. And if you're playing both sides, you're playing with fire, and you're already burnt. And we need to understand that when God comes here and He says there's only two kinds of fish, there are the righteous fish, there are the good fish, and there are the bad fish. And I think it's kind of funny, because as a fisherman, I understand that very well. I throw back bad fish all the time, because there are fish that I'm out there trying to catch. They're good to eat. And the ones that aren't, I throw back in the water. Well, the amazing thing is, are these people going to get thrown back in the water? Absolutely not, because God's judgment is final. It is full. It is complete. And that is our second point. This is permanent. This is permanent. It doesn't change from there out. Jesus is letting us know that when this thing happens, there is no more future here on earth. for either one, neither the good nor the bad. It's an end. And then there will be a new beginning. Because the good fish are put into containers. I like that. I like that. Because I want us to think about something. Heaven and hell are containers. Okay? How many of you have Glad storage containers in your cupboard right now? Or Tupperware containers in your cupboard right now? Or Cool Whip containers in your cupboard right now? You know, we recycle those things. That becomes a cheap man's Tupperware. Okay? Or a poor man's Tupperware. I got a lot of that stuff in my cabinets. Open the drawer and they fall out. That's what heaven and hell are. They're temporary containers. They're not permanent. God is getting ready to set up that which is permanent. The lake of fire is permanent. That's the final storage. Okay? That is unto eternity. And then our eternal state with Him is also an eternal state. Until that set time, there are containers that everybody is held in. We call one heaven and we call the other hell. In Hebrew, they knew it. There was one container, but it was kind of neat because that container had two compartments. Okay, and I'm sure some of you have those two storage containers, you know, where it's got, you can put your veggies on one side and your meat or pasta or whatever, you know, Miss Virginia, on the other side, right? And that's what Sheol was. And there was a division between the two that the peas couldn't get into the carrots, right? Unless you really shook it up. But in that eternal state, Jesus emptied the one and the other one is still there. And Abraham's bosom is now empty. In fact, it's not used. Because now those people are in heaven waiting for the rest of us to be called up to meet Him in the air. So we have to look at this and understand that Jesus is talking about some very real spiritual things here. And he's letting everybody know, you know, so many people think, well, heaven's permanent, heaven's forever. No, it's not. Heaven is a temporary place right now. Heaven is a temporary place right now. Because once God redoes the earth, He's going to dwell here with us. There'll be no more need for that. So it's a temporary place. However, the lake of fire is also a place where hell itself will be thrown and burned up. And it will burn forever and ever and ever. When we think about that fiery furnace, there are a couple of things that I want us to think about here. Because the bad are going to be thrown away. They're not going to be thrown back. Amen? You know, that's a horrible thing to find yourself in that situation. Because God is giving us what we've asked for, and it's forever. There's no do-overs. Is that what we call them? Do-overs? You know, in golf, they call it a mulligan. You know, when you take a mulligan, I think you're allowed two a game if you use mulligans. But in this, there is no mulligan because you get your whole life, and there are many opportunities put before us by God where we can choose Him. And every day you wake up is a day that you can choose Him. And when you pass, it's over. And in that place, there's going to be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. What does that mean? Well, this is amazing because in my studies of this, one of the big questions that came up is there really fire in hell? Is there really this lake of fire? You know, is there an eternal fire that just burns forever? Well, one of the things that we understand about the Bible is it uses symbolism. Am I right, Miss Marion? Uses great symbolism. Can we understand fire? What does fire do? It consumes, okay? It burns up, it destroys, it breaks down, okay? So when you think about this, what Jesus is telling us here, is there going to be fire? I literally think there's going to be a heavenly fire. I don't know what it's going to look like, but He calls it a fiery furnace for a reason, and it says it many, 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 many times. But it's going to be a different fire than what we know here on earth. It's not going to be the type of fire with you know, that's temporary, that has to have fuel to burn. This thing's going to burn all on its own. It doesn't need fuel. But we certainly understand what it means to be in a fire. We understand what it means to be under suffering. And that's the gnashing of teeth. Have you ever been to a point where you smacked your thumb with a hammer? Okay, I know some of you guys, you know, loosening nuts on a car motor, and that wrench slips, and wham, you break your knuckles open. Man, what's the first thing you do? Oh, that's gnashing of teeth. The pain in that place is going to be so bad, the people won't be able to speak. They're just going to be gnashing their teeth and talking like this. The pain will be unending. It's a suffering we can't even begin to think of. But Jesus uses this analogy, he uses this picture, if you will, to show us what it's going to be like and how bad it's going to be. Then he also says there's going to be weeping. Why weeping? Because when you're mad, when you're, you know, generally there's a whole lot of anger in that, right? You know, I know, you know, myself, you know, when I hit the, I want to throw that hammer from here to kingdom come and kingdom went. Like it's going to hurt the hammer, right? But what about the weeping? What's the weeping all about? Well, the one thing I want you all to remember is this. You will have every one of your memories. Why would they be weeping? Because all of your memories will be intact. You will remember every time you had the opportunity to choose God for all eternity. And all you're going to do is weep. Why didn't I? I had that opportunity. I had that opportunity. I had that opportunity. I had that opportunity. I had that. And all you're going to do is weep because it was right there in front of you. And you knew it, but you rejected it. So there's going to be a weeping, and that weeping is going to be unending because memories are some very powerful and strong things. Memories can trigger emotions so deep that it will paralyze you. And it can trigger joys so great that there's nothing can touch you. But in this place, the memories are going to be memories of regret, memories of anguish because of choices lost, choices rejected. So when we think about just what it's going to be like in that day, it's going to be a powerful day because it's going to be absolute. God is going to consume it all. He's going to take it all in, every human being. Everyone will be judged. Some of us are going to be judged unto eternity, and some of us are going to be judged unto hell. And we need to understand in that judgment, this is the separation. This is the one fish, two fish, good fish, bad fish. Where will we be found? For if we have chosen Christ and we walk in Him, and I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of people that go to church who are going to say, well, I'm going to be one of the good fish. Only to find that they've been thrown in the bad pile because though they went to church, they did not choose to walk with Christ. They did not choose to live their life in the commands of God. They did not choose to have that relationship. What they chose was a duty. And it's sad because there are so many people right now that our modern world, I want you to think about this. We've got a group of people out there in our society right now who go to church every Sunday. And, you know, for those folks who are watching us here on the video, I want them to understand, too, that you know, I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad you're connecting. But then you need to get real with your faith, too, just as we need to get real with our faith. And we need to connect with one another. We need to connect with Jesus Christ. And then we need to go out and do the work that we're called. One of the things that we all understand here, because it's right there on our bulletin, it says, love God, love others, and go, right? Because that is what we're called to do in Christ Jesus. That's what He did. He loved God, so He came here and gave Himself up. That's loving others, because He gave Himself up for who? Us. And where did He go from? He went from heaven. So He came, He gave, and He loved God. That's the backwards side of it. We are here. We are to love God. We are to love others in the same way, giving up ourselves, and then go. as we go out into the world and bring the gospel of peace, warning them of this which is going to come. Because this is not something that can be taken lightly. Jesus, as I said, spoke on this in just these parables that we have done thus far. He has spoken on it 5 times. Do you think it's important? I think it's so amazing. We read the scriptures and we just kind of gloss over that stuff, and we don't realize that in one teaching, in one day's preaching, Jesus spoke 5 times on the reality of the judgment that is about to come. Why did he speak so much? Because he doesn't want anybody to be there. God tells us in his Old Testament that he would every man choose life. And we need to understand, some of them people need help from us who have chosen life because they don't realize where they are. And that's what I was getting to. There's a whole bunch of people out there in the church who have been fed false doctrine. You know, God's still speaking, right? With a big comma. And we get to determine what he's saying. No, God is not speaking anymore. It is written here in black and white, and it means what it says, and it is what it is. If you don't like it, that's just tough. But if you love the Lord, he will change your heart to the point where you understand it and you can come under it. And that's the next thing he asked the disciples. I think this is an amazing comment. If you look at what he says here in verse 51, he says to them, "Have you understood all these things?" Now, I need to ask you folks, do you understand all these things? Well, they said yes. I have a hard time understanding all these things. That little word, all, makes the difference, doesn't it? If he had just said, "Do you understand these things?" I could have said, "Oh, yeah, I understand them." But do you understand all these things? No. So how could they answer yes? Well, as I was studying and learning about this, I came to the understanding, and this is the amazing thing, because when you understand something in Greek, what does it mean? Or when you understand something in Hebrew, what does it mean? Because our legal system works this way. If you're put under charges and you go to court, they will say, "Do you understand these charges against you?" And if you say yes, they got you. You're already guilty because what you're telling them is you are coming under those charges. They have precedence over you. Okay? So we need to understand that this is legal language. Do you understand? Do you come under this word? And the answer is yes. We come under all of it. We may not, in the English sense, understand it all, know what it all means, but do you come under it? Yes, I come under it. And in coming under it, now, through the progressive sanctification of the Holy Spirit, as we grow in Christ, we'll understand more and more and more as time goes by. And the more we understand, the more knowledge we gain, the more we have to come under it. Amen? Because I can remember when I first came to Christ, I had about this much understanding. God was about this deep to me. And as I've walked with Him over the years, God keeps getting a whole lot deeper. Okay? And the neat thing is, I've never drowned yet. Because God keeps me afloat. And He lets me understand through the power of His Holy Spirit. And I walk on the water. And we need to understand that that's what Peter was doing, right? He was understanding Christ. He understood, "If you call me, I'll come." But as soon as he came out from under that word, he sank. So we need to stand on that word. We need to come under it. We need to allow it to wash over us that we can see that what he's telling them here is there are choices that you are going to make. There are choices that other people are going to make. And we need to help them see the choices that they are making that they can come into the household of faith. And the only way we'll understand that is to come under that word and allow it to grow us. Because right now, you know, if I dare say, there's a lot of people out there who would say that this preacher is a bigot and a homophobe and all kinds of stuff. And I'm going to say to them, yep, because God tells me I'm supposed to be. There are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. You can put whatever label on it you want. God says righteous and evil. Choose. There is no middle ground. You don't get to tell God what He is or who He is. He tells us who we're supposed to be. Amen? And then we got to walk in that. And it's a tough hoe. You know, I don't know about you, but when I'm out there in the field and I'm working and those seeds are coming up, there's weeds coming up too. And we got to go out there and get at those weeds, don't we? Just the other day, I was out there, praise God, I got a rototiller. Makes it a whole lot easier. But it's going to get to a point where my vegetables have grown to the place where I can no longer run the rototiller. Then I got to get out there with the hoe, lest I beat up my vegetables and lose the fruit thereof. And that's the way life is. The further we walk with Jesus, the more gentle we have to become as we get out there, because the fruit's on the vine, and you don't want to beat it up. You don't want to crush it. You want to protect it. So you got to go at it lightly. And that's hand work. It calls to get into this in a very intimate way. And that's what Jesus was asking him. Do you understand what's coming? And they said, yes, we understand as much as we can right now. So we can say in the same manner, yes, we understand. We come under. And Lord, as you reveal more and more to us as time goes by, as we grow in our sanctification, we'll come under that too. And we'll grow with you. And we'll take this message out to all those who are perishing. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there is a perishing world about us. And we need to be involved. Jesus was telling his disciples to get involved. Because there's a judgment coming. And it's going to be full. It's going to be complete. There's not going to be anything that folks can escape from. And when it's done, it's done. There is no more. There are last chances. You know, we serve a God of second chances, amen? But how many of us have needed third and fourth and fifth and sixth, and He's been gracious to give them? But there is coming a time when there will be no more. For the judgment will be full. It will be complete. Everything will have to come in. Everything has to answer to God. And as it does, He will judge it, righteous and evil. There is no middle line. So today, as we walk in that truth and in that reality, I pray that as we move even deeper into these parables, because this is the last parable of the kingdom. From here, we're going to move on to some of the other parables. We're going to understand that Jesus is going to begin to talk to us in our Christian faith and in our Christian walk. He's going to talk to us about folly. He's going to talk to us about wisdom. And it's discerning these things. You know, I think it's one of the most amazing things. A lot of pastors shy away from the parables because they're difficult. They're difficult because God is not talking in outright manners. He's talking in hyperboles. He's talking in metaphors. He's talking in rhymes. And you've got to see what He's talking about. You've got to pray about it. You've got to study it. You've got to come under it. I think we just spoke about that, didn't we? And you need Him to reveal it to you. But when we have eyes to see and ears to hear, it's as plain as the nose on our face, isn't it? So may we, as we continue to understand these parables, realize this is Jesus' teaching. How important are these things? And are we ready to receive the kingdom wisdom that He has for us? Here He's telling us about the kingdom, that it's going to be built up, but within it, the evil is even going to be there. And it's going to grow into something horrendous. But God's good is still there. Because at the end, He's going to judge it and He's going to separate it. The good comes out just like the wheat and the tares. And the tares are thrown into the fire and the wheat is brought into the storehouse. So too, the fish will be divided unto damnation and unto glory. So today we need to remember, we need to be fishermen, a different type of fishermen. We need to be fishermen set with the gospel to change fish. You know, they say a tiger cannot lose its stripes. It's born a tiger, it'll always be a tiger. But aren't we glad that in our world we can be born a sinful man, but we can be reborn in the image of God through our Savior who is Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let us pray this day. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for all that you give us in your word. For again, Lord, you teach us that you would not have anyone perish. You've given us so many warnings. You've shown us so much love and so much hope that, Lord, we need to take this message to our friends and our families and help them to see just where they are, not beating them up with it, but walking gently with them and loving them as you loved us to that place of accepting life. So, Lord, as we open our hearts to this word, may we come under it, that we may understand it, that we may know thy grace and thy glory, that we may go out, as you say here in the end, as scribes, bringing out of our treasures things old and things new, understanding that we know things now, but there is more yet to come. For, Lord, as we come under your word, you educate us to the fullness of your glory. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with wisdom. Thank you for giving us the hope of glory. And thank you for preparing us to go out there and be fishers of men. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.